ready to go. I'll call the City Council meeting of September the 26th to order at 6:11. If we could have a moment of silence, please. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Just a bit of housekeeping, if everyone would turn off their electronic devices as it interferes with our sound system. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Charlie Hopkins.
Here.
Dennis Oleson.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Terry Robinson.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
Paul Greeno requested to be excused tonight.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried 6-0. Next item on our agenda is audience participation. And I understand that we have a request for an EMS presentation.
Evening, Council. You had asked a few meetings back for some information on the EMS levy that's proposed on the November ballot. So I have invited tonight a member of the EMS committee to do a presentation for you for information purposes. And his name is Mr. Robert Glorioso. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to him.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you. Yes, Robert Glorioso, the president of the Firefighters Local 106, as well as on the EMS Save Lives Committee. And on this particular subject, I represent all firefighters in Whatcom County. So thank you for the time. I'm also a Blaine resident, so happy to be here.
Proud to be
here. Thank you. Yeah. So at this time, I just want to get into this. We have on this EMS campaign committee, we've been on there. We've been working real hard. I had the distinct pleasure of sitting on the committee with the stakeholders as we built this plan, and so to be a part of that was definitely an honor. We'll dive right in here. Whatcom County Proposition 1 EMS, it is a emergency medical services levy. It will be on the November ballot. It's a 6-year levy that's proposing a 29.5 cents. Per thousand property tax. But it's not just collecting money, it's also it's a plan that's designed to also create the government model that will bring this EMS levy to fruition here, so moving forward. The problem is Whatcom County is growing. Back in 2001, we added a fourth ALS ambulance. And just really quick, an ALS ambulance is one that has paramedics on it. A paramedic, an EMT, and a paramedic are different in that an EMT does about 120 hours and they become an EMT basic. Your paramedics do 2,000 hours and go through an extensive, basically they're the ones that bring the emergency department to your living room. So in 2001, we added a fourth paramedic unit, and since then our county has grown 22%. That's about 50,000 folks added to our county. Right now, and so we're in a desperate situation here, and that we need a fifth medic unit, which is high time. We're way past the time where we would have added a fifth medic unit at this point. Right now, the EMS system is currently funded by sales tax, user fees, and the Whatcom County and City of Bellingham general funds, which is a difficult way to fund an essential service. In that, the sales tax, for instance. Is a 0.1% passed in 2005, and as the economy changes and folks aren't spending as much money in Whatcom County or whatever happens there, you don't have that stable source of funding. User fees, well, we recover only a certain percentage of user fees, and general funds, well, we know with general funds that there are different priorities. Sometimes different groups have different priorities as to where the funding needs to go. So. Sometimes EMS suffers as a result, and it has. This way of funding, another thing that's important to note is Waukesha County is the last county in the state of Washington that funds EMS this way. This particular way of funding is not able to keep up with the rising costs, reduced federal reimbursements, and so as a result, we're very, very lean right now. This is a list of the folks, a stakeholders group that sat around. We divided the committee up into four sections. One was ALS-BLS, so this was a committee that that determined the system as it is now, what are ways that we can lean it up, what are ways that we can make sure that we're using the funding in the most efficient ways. There was also a finance, basically a governance model, so there was a part of this committee that made the decision on, hey, what is the best way to deliver the system? For 42 years, Bellingham had been the one delivering the system, and that was fine in the 70s and 80s, but as the system grew, what we found was, there's a perception of conflict of interest when you have one fire department doling out the entire the ALS system for the county. We need to do better than that because it caused a lot of conflict. So they decided that the best way, the most efficient way was, and it's in the 52-page document, which I'll point to you where you can get that as well, but the best way to do that is to have a third-party EMS administrator. This is someone now that will be able to centralize what we're doing. Let's stop the duplication of efforts. Let's stop the two different continuing education and the equipment and how we deliver the service. Let's centralize it so that we don't have that perception of conflict of interest. That was the way we decided to go. So the governance model will change where we'll have a third-party EMS administrator. And then there was two other, one was how to communicate with the public, and then another one was way above my pay grade. It was the finance. They're the ones that came up with the, what is 29.5 cents? Where should we set it at? 29.5 cents being the most responsible number that they come up with. So there you go, 29.5 cents per thousand of assessed valuation. The average home in Whatcom County is about 200 properties, about 250,000 of assessed value. That's about $74 a year. And obviously, an EMS levy would be that stable source of funding. You don't get the ups and downs with the sales tax. Okay, so we have seen countywide support. We've seen significant support. The Whatcom County Council and Bellingham City Council all voted 7-0 to put it on the ballot in November. They said that this was a priority. They liked the fact that the way that this committee was brought together, folks who have not always been able to sit down around a table and come to consensus all sat down and came to a consensus, which is pretty important. Both the labor groups from District 7 and Local 106, both are hand-in-hand working together on this. And many of the chiefs, the EMS Oversight Board, the Technical Advisory Board, the Chiefs Council, a lot of folks throughout the county have thrown in their support for this plan. So an important question is, a lot of times folks have asked, and I'm sure this group is much more savvy, but hey, you know, what about these funds coming in and not going to where you guys say they're going to? One of the things that firefighters are real important to us is sometimes when we get behind something, what we look at folks and say, this is going to be this way, it ends up going a different direction, and we have a big problem with that. This particular one is not the case. State law dictates that EMS funds, any dollars collected for EMS, has to go to EMS. So we're not going to see this kind of deterrent of funds into other areas. Paramedics, we'll talk about that in a moment. Training paramedics, the equipment that we need, a unified system. So again, that speaks to that third-party administrator and how that person will run the system in order to keep it as lean as possible. And then the community paramedic program. This is a program that is getting more and more teeth. They've been talking about it at different levels through state legislature on down about a community paramedic. And what that person does is they identify the high users in a system. So we have folks out there that essentially use 911 as their health care. And as a result, they call 911 a lot. And there's a lot of pressure on the system because of that. This person is going to be out there, and this is a funded position here, that will be out there identifying who those folks are, those high users, and not only getting them into the right help, but also doing the follow-through, which is the most important piece. Yeah, we can take someone and say, oh, you need to go see this doctor, you need to go see these folks, but then when you don't follow through, you just end up falling back on the same thing. This community paramedic has already shown to reduce ALS calls, so it's a pretty important position. And then, most importantly, that fifth ALS unit, one more staff paramedic unit, which will get us sort of get us into this millennium. We need a fifth medic unit because, Chief could probably attest here, we run out of ALS units a lot. And when that happens, we have a protocol, we have a lot of things that have to happen, but we find ourselves stretched extraordinarily thin these days. And as a paramedic, I can attest to that. The challenge we have, it's a new EMS levy. It's a 60% to pass, so it's a supermajority. That's approximately our best numbers. There's 74,554 votes, and it's really going to take us educating voters. So a lot of us firefighters and a lot of folks from different groups from around the county have banded together, the hospital workers, the nurses, a lot of folks from around the county, firefighters, all are working comprehensive campaign to get out and educate our voters. The good news is we look back to 2005 when that sales tax passed, and it did pass overwhelmingly, so that was good news. We have coordinated extensive pro campaign. I haven't heard much of the con statement yet. I know that they're out there, but we are working extraordinarily hard to educate our voters so they know what they are voting on. And that's a sign you might see around here. If the levy fails, one of the things I don't really like is doomsday type speak when we're working on these types of things. I don't subscribe to that. But the folks, the city council folks, the county council folks that are on these committees and that are working with us, the assessor's office, on the ballot language, service will be cut. We will see a different model if we do not get dedicated funding. We are at a point right now where we are at 2011 should have been right about the time we needed to start looking at dedicated funding. And here we are in 2016. We have cut, we have gotten about as lean as we possibly can, and it's time. Response times obviously get slower, and lives will be impacted if response times are slower. There is a trickle down, and it is real, because from my perspective as a paramedic in the system, it's not about doing the right thing for a patient. It's about doing the right thing for a patient at the right time. And that's what having a fifth ALS unit out there will do for the system. It'll make a big difference. So some language from the ballot here. The existing funding sources dedicated to EMS are not sufficient. Yeah, it's more of the same language. We're working on educating voters. We've got mailers that we have going out, yard signs, we're sharing information. If you're interested and you want to look at the 52-page document that breaks down all of the aspects of this plan, it's on. You can go to our website, emssaveslives.com. There's also should be a place there if you're interested in getting a sign for your house or anything else. You can get on there and take a look at it and get all the information. These are the folks on the campaign committee. You'll see it's a pretty diverse committee. We've got folks that are elected. We have folks from business leaders throughout the town and the county. Erica Work is our chair. She's a fantastic lady. She's been working with us and keeping us in line. And I get my marching orders from her. She tells me where I need to be and how I better get there. So, if you have any questions, happy to answer them now. Erica Work is our chair, and my contact information is also there. Happy to answer anytime. Yes, sir.
So if this levy passes, is that going to eliminate all the other taxes and resources that are dedicated to it now? Is it going to replace the taxes, the sales tax and the other taxes?
No, sir. The 0.1% sales tax is a public safety sales tax. So that funding is shared with law enforcement and EMS. That will continue. So there won't be. There was another question that had come up, and I feel like I better just answer it now, because if I got a yes vote for every time it was asked, then I think we'd be done here. But it is basically, what are they going to do with the funding that they're currently using, the county and the city? What are they going to do with that money now that this levy will pay for EMS? And I'll say this right up front, this is sort of above my pay grade. I don't get to make those decisions. You folks know better than I. I've heard from the city of Bellingham that they have been deficit spending, and I've seen through a lot of presentations that they're deficit spending, so I don't see a reduction. They're dipping into reserves that are getting dangerously close, so I do not see a reduction there. The county council, I've heard through different council members, that's sort of getting a little traction, is that there's some significant capital issues going on, as we all know, with the jail and the courthouse and all those things, and they'd like to try to use those funds to do that. So I don't see a reduction happening. That's just my educated opinion there, I guess.
Thank you.
If this passes, who gets the money? In other words, right now you've got the city of Bellingham and you've got the county donating money to, is it to the firefighters that this money will go to? Or who will control that money?
The money will go into, and essentially it'll go into the county account. The county is the one that's in charge. The city of Bellingham contracts with the county for our ALS service.
So all the money will go into the county.
Yeah, in a dedicated EMS fund.
They will then arrange.
Right, and then you have
that over the EMS system.
Yes, sir. Yes, and then you have the EMS oversight board, the EOB, and the TAB, and they're the groups that advise the county council.
And how quickly will the fifth unit come into place if this passes?
Within the 6-year life cycle, within 3 years, we'll have paramedics be educated, and probably, and again, that's the EMS administrator's job, but probably in the latter half of the 6 years.
Thank you, Robert.
Yes, sir.
Presentation, really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to the council this evening? Hearing none, we'll go on to written communications. Do we have any?
We received an email dated September 16th from James and Janice Holloway regarding the Sea Smoke development, an email dated September 18th from John Urich regarding camping, open fires, and alcohol in city parks, and a response dated September 22nd from City Manager David Wilbrecht, an email dated September 22nd from Sam Crawford regarding the end of summer celebration event that was in the park on September 24th. Email dated September 23rd and 24th from Bill Beck regarding the upcoming All Aboard Washington meeting. And an email dated September 23rd from Bill Beck regarding noise concerns in the city of Blaine.
Just a quick question, Raven. Are you going to go to that all aboard meeting, all aboard Washington?
Yes, I committed to going to the meeting. I was going to, in my staff report, ask if there were any council members that wanted to join me, but
I may.
Yeah, I may too.
Excellent.
Okay. Next item on our agenda is the consent agenda, approval of bills in the amount of $336,730.73, approval of council minutes for September the 12th, 2016, amended WRIA interlocal agreement, and number 4, contract with the Whatcom County for probation services. I'd be willing to entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Are there any questions or comments?
Harry, I had a question on the
yes,
interlocal agreement.
The WIRA?
Probation services.
The WIRA one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does the city of Blaine have to designate somebody to be on that group, in that group?
Not to my knowledge.
It's possible that a small city representative would be on that group.
I think right now the city of Linden participates probably not.
Yeah. But we would be included in any of the...
I'm sure it's public.
Yeah. Any further questions? Comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 6-0. Next item on our agenda is commission, committee, and board reports. The first one is Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee. Mr. Wilbrecht.
My next meeting will be next week on Tuesday afternoon.
And what time is that?
3 p.m.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Lawrenson on the Blaine Tourism and Advisory Committee.
No report.
Bonnie on the Chamber of Commerce.
No report.
Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee, Charlie.
No report.
Dennis, your three committees, Library Senior and Boys and Girls Club.
There was a question from the library group regarding the results of the library survey, if those numbers are available now or complete.
I just got a draft report today in the mail, and I haven't had a chance to look at them, but our hopes are that next week at the Economic Development Committee we can discuss those.
Okay.
And we'll make those available to the library as well.
David, will those be online?
Yes.
Okay.
The Senior Center question about budget now. We will be in the process of establishing that.
Yes, and they can submit their request.
They need to do that?
Yeah, they need to do that.
Okay. And the Boys and Girls Club have a new person in charge, Kelsey Clark. Dave and I met her the other day. And she's just getting started, so we'll see how it goes. If she has questions, and maybe we can get her to come down and talk to us one day.
Thank you. Public Works Advisory Committee, Raven.
Our next meeting is October 6th. We just set the agenda this week, and the notice will be going out this week.
Okay. Small Cities Caucus, David, did you have?
There's really nothing to report.
Yeah, okay. Finance Committee?
No report yet. We'll be meeting next month.
You're going to set up the agendas
for the...
Okay. And Whatcom Council of Governments, no report. And the North Whatcom Fire update, Mr. Chief Hollander.
Twice in one night.
Okay.
So tonight I'm sharing with you our Chief's report for the activities through the month of August. Some interesting notes there that we're already 2,763 calls this year just for our district. So when Robert said the call volume is up, call volume is definitely up. It's going about 10%. It's averaging about 10% per year increase. And when he mentioned frequent flyer people that call 911, currently I'm dealing with two individuals that call almost every day, if not twice a day. And it's just for little things like I can't get up off the floor or my feet are hanging out from the blanket on my bed. And they call 911, we have to go. So that's where that community assistance paramedic would deal with individuals like that. At the bottom of page one, you'll see that there was no fire loss for the month of August, which is surprising because August is typically our busiest burning month. But it was all grass fires and no structures were lost, so that's a positive item. Your numbers for Blaine and Semiahmoo are on the next page for our response times. They're pretty much where they always are. We had 19 responses up to Semiahmoo for August. And including that on the next page, there was a substantial grass fire out on Birch Drive Point. I was on vacation that week, but I got a few calls on vacation wondering what all the smoke was, so apparently it made a pretty good plume of smoke, if any of you were
here
at that
good
time. And again, there was no property damage on that fire. The Blaine Primary School, the fire department has signed that off. That construction project is complete as far as we're concerned, and I believe it's occupied and being used. Working with the high school right now on getting all their underground sprinkler lines installed. And then a little bit on social media. Our Facebook site is getting about 1,000 hits a week. So for information purposes, I don't have the count on our Twitter site, and our website is averaging between 300 and 400 hits a week. So kind of interesting to follow those trends because we talk about social media and getting that information out quickly. The last thing I'll tell you is that in the county, the burn ban goes off tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. City, of course, you can't burn within the city limits or the UGA. So that would be the information I have to share with you.
Appreciate it. Potential for fires, grass fires, is pretty low.
Well, the moisture in the fuels right now is high enough. Yeah, that it is now safe to lift the burn ban.
Okay,
and we can burn again. Correct.
Thank you, sir.
Chief, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Fire pits, are they allowed in the city limits? Like, if you want to sit around a fire on a cool evening and you just want to, you know, even if it has a top on it, a grate or whatever.
Technically, a recreational fire is allowed.
Okay.
It's the purpose of the fire. So if you're cooking marshmallows on dry wood, and it's in a proper size confined space and meets all the requirements, that's allowed. If you're burning grass or yard debris in that same pit, then it would not be allowed.
Right. Yeah, I'm talking strictly residential, yeah. But that is allowed. Mm-hmm. Does it have to have a covering, a grate on
not
it?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Chief. Next item on our agenda is Department Reports, Public Works Project Updates. Mrs. White Wolf.
Yes, sir. Let's see if this fits up here. It looks like it does. So a few things to go over tonight, and some of them involve calendars. If you wouldn't mind getting yours out, I'd appreciate it. Let's see here. Sorry, I had this open. It's still there. Okay. Just quick update, Mitchell Avenue, the landscaping should be forthcoming, but as you haven't noticed already, the handrail's up and the trail is open. There are some details with the trail that Bill's still working on, but overall, the responses that we've been receiving from the bus drivers has been very positive, so we're encouraged. And chip seal project was incredible, done in one day. They even covered up some of our buttons, so we didn't have to replace them. Just an amazing experience, and I think if we have further chip seals, especially in residential areas that are funded through TIB like this, that we would go with this particular contractor again for sure. Just so much less impact to our citizens than the work that the county does when they leave it gravel and stuff for a long time. The work in the well field will be starting up at 5.1 this week, so they're doing some electrical work. We have a date set for the tour of the well field. I believe there are four of you that were interested. So we have the date of October 12th. We were thinking about 3 p.m. We can do a second one at 1 p.m. or we can do it the second one on 10/15 that Friday. So I believe it was Bonnie, Harry.
What day of the week Mary, is that?
October 12th is a Wednesday, I believe. Let me pull up my calendar, sorry. October 12th is a Wednesday, yes. And so actually the Friday would be a 14th, not the 15th. Want me to repeat?
Yes, please.
Well field tour, as well as the 8.1 pump station, October 12th, 3 p.m. And I want to extend that also for a second time slot, could be 3 p.m., or we can hold it on that Friday. And I suppose you could get back to me later on, or it's actually Bill that's going to conduct the tour. I don't want to put you on the spot, but there's our next meeting is that week. And so I wanted to be sure to get these dates out for you and let you know that Bill's walking out this afternoon on the 12th. But if the 12th was bad, that he can also do the afternoon of the 14th.
I have a COG meeting
on both dates?
On the 12th.
Okay, so
which
you can...
Wednesday. I can do Friday.
You can do Friday, okay.
Friday afternoon.
Any other ability to respond tonight?
I can do it on Friday at 3,
yeah,
or whatever time.
Afternoon would be fine.
3 p.m. Friday for fine. Councilmember Stewart, you need some time to think about it? Okay. All right, so I'll report. Ms. Rolison, did you have a comment?
No. Been there, done that.
Okay, I thought so, but okay. All right, well, I'll get with him on that, and I know Mr. Wilbrecht wanted to go to that as well.
And you're going to send out an email on that.
Bill will do that, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, there was an email request to look into a quiet zone for the railroad. I can tell you that Bellingham has been working on that for probably about 10 years, especially in the downtown area. According to Mr. Bullock, they do have the ability to use wayside horns as opposed to the general whistle that they do currently use, but they're about 50,000 plus per crossing. So that would need to be a budgetary item if it's requested, and that price might be higher than that. So I haven't had time to talk to a rail consultant. We have a consultant working with us on Hughes Avenue. We can explore it a little bit further, but suffice it to say that it's not cheap, it's not quick, and it's not simple.
So why don't they pay for it?
I'm sorry, sir?
Why don't they pay for it?
Yeah.
They're not the ones that... This is freight trains we're talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I know up in White Rock, they do like a little ding, 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 ding
mm-hmm.
when they go through White Rock and on the water there.
Mm-hmm.
If they can do it there, and that doesn't sound like a horn to me, a wayside horn.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a ding, ding, ding kind of sound.
But do
why
they,
can't they do that down here?
I would expect that the rules here are potentially different, but like I said, we can further the dialogue with our consultant that's working on the Hughes Avenue project, because
yeah,
he is pretty great at this kind of stuff. But that being said, it's still a long-term process.
Are there crossings in White Rock?
Well, not crossings. No, not motor crossings. Now, that's true.
Pedestrian.
It's not a motor crossing kind of situation.
Okay.
But they have lots of pedestrians. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they have lots of potential.
Yeah, because they're going right through the heart of the town, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's because when people are in cars, they need something louder. That's true. I didn't think about that. But
yeah, what I'm talking about is strictly for the crossings.
Yeah.
So let me, you know, I only had a couple of days. I'm out the rest of the week, but I will task Mr. Bullock with exploring that a little further with our consultant. But I just wanted to give you the not quick, not simple, and not cheap answer.
Yeah.
All right, so we already talked about the all-aboard meeting. They have actually asked me to do a little presentation about Blaine at that meeting. Will also be an update on the students' report. This is on the 8th at Western Washington. So I've heard Mayor Robinson and Councilmember Onion interested
That's
in
one
that.
One to four, is it?
I believe. If you want lunch, it's 12 to 4. So I will send you the flyer on that if you'd like.
Okay.
All right, anybody else that wanted to see that? I will do that before I leave tonight. Another scheduling item, Senator Erickson actually contacted me, or his office contacted me, about setting up a meeting. So I guess I've asked Ms. Sanchez to help with that. Because I am going to be out the rest of this week. And so I needed to know who. I know Mr. Mayor is very interested in that. Is there anybody else?
Is this talk about
state funding probably hitting 274 really hard?
More than 274.
What's the date are you talking about?
That's what I need to know, is if there's particular days of the week that are bad for you.
I'd like to go.
Are you talking about early in October or November or what?
I think so, yes.
Tuesdays or Thursdays are best for me.
Tuesday or Thursday.
That
would
work for me.
Okay, so I have the three of you, and I'm going to limit it to that. All right, thank you. Vista Terrace, we were asked for an update, so I wanted to give you that. Let me open an email. Sorry, I thought I had it open. So summary is right now, we still have four vacant lots, eight people that were connected prior to 2015, so prior to our project. New connections, 20 homes. We're working, we have 12 approved deferrals and 13 not connected. Right now, of that 13, two have active utility request into public works. With the money that we have for the hookup assistance, it looks like there will be about $27,000 left in that $60,000 pot. And our intent would be to offer that to the 20 plus folks, you know, as that number changes, to help them with their own connection. So it will be a little over $1,000 per residence that connects. It will not be offered to those who get deferrals. Really, they don't need that. It might help a little bit with the 13 or 11 that are remaining, if that were out there. But all of the property owners have been informed that they'll start getting a sewer bill next month. So there's your update. Any questions on that?
There was a letter from a gentleman. Has that been responded to?
The letter?
A letter from whom?
Lawyer.
There was a lawyer right here.
Oh, yes. So there was a kind of a combination public records request and a letter from the attorney. Yeah. Our attorney is working on responding to the attorney, and Ms. Sanchez has worked on that public records request with Public Works.
Yeah, but we haven't responded to it.
John actually did send an email saying he's working on a response.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they know that we're working on it. Right. I won't give you any more details.
We have not received any other inquiries?
We have not. There were no appeals, and that letter is not considered an appeal because it was too late to be an appeal letter.
So how many people that have not been on the system will have to start paying starting next month?
Well, we have the 20 new connections, and then the 13 folks that are not connected yet will also get a bill per city code.
33 people paying
a monthly fee. Yes. 33 additional people, which is right around what we budgeted on. Unfortunately, we would hope that they would be connected earlier in the year, of course.
Yeah.
All right. I might be done. See if I had any other topics.
Electric?
Vista Terrace Electric. It is currently under design. And the plan would be to construct that this winter. We're actually staggering our bids because we were finding over the course of the summer that contractors were rather saturated with construction this year. We just did a mini kind of bid for some work behind the pavilion that'll be starting this week, and we got a pretty good response on that. So I think we're going to start in a program that out, but that is a perfect winter construction as there's really no digging or anything like that. So that is our plan. And then H Street will be a little bit more involved to get H Street to Harvey, and that'll be next year.
What about the street lamps?
That'll be part of the H Street to Harvey, unfortunately, which is next year.
H Street to Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
H Street to Harvey? Odell to Harvey?
You're referring to the street lights on H Street.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we need to pull all that wire, and we're going to include that as part of the extension to Harvey.
Okay. Can't we at least get one at Vista Terrace Avenue and H? It's so dark on
I'll
that
talk
corner.
To Wayne about that. That's
even
a good suggestion.
Just the one.
Mm-hmm. That might be possible because we'll be right there.
Yeah.
Let me see what I can do
I've
on that. Thank
lots
you.
Lots of complaints about that. It's hard turning in there at night when it's really dark out.
Great.
Yeah, question? The Lincoln Park sewer, that you're just waiting on the bids on that?
Mm-hmm. I actually spoke with the designer today. The plan is to get that out this month.
And the other question is, there was a letter from Bill Beck regarding the sweeper.
Yes, sir. So thank you for reminding me about that. I had intended on bringing that up. So I'm planning a response to Mr. Beck to actually have it started. Really, and, you know, if you folks want us to change something, you let me know. But our crew is very proud of the fact that we sweep every city street once a week. And in order to do that, we have an operator start at 4 o'clock in the morning every Friday. And in order to get through all the streets, they have to start early, because once people start moving around, it gets very hard to do. So the downtown is one of the earliest areas to get done, because it's one of the areas that wakes up first in terms of movement and vehicles and all of that. So, you know, it's actually come up a couple of times when we've talked about other events or work that we want to get done in public works, and I'm like, well, we'll skip the sweeping this week. And I get a lot of resistance to that. So unless you feel we should do something different, my explanation of Mr. Beck will be along that line. And, you know, of course, he can call me and we can discuss it further at his convenience.
Well, when you say every week, you're just talking about arterials are done every week.
Yes,
not neighborhoods. Just
I don't know how far we get into residential streets, but we do.
I know it's
bit.
Not it's once a week, you know, on my street. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's done often enough, I think, on our
it's
street.
It's quite a bit. Yeah, it's definitely more than other areas. And like I said, it's something that our crew takes a lot of pride in.
I think it's wonderful that we hit them that often downtown.
And this time of year, as we're starting to get leaves, it actually becomes more of a necessity than something that beautifies our city. But we are very proud of our clean streets.
So if people put the leaves out into the street, they can get them?
Take that off the record, please. People are responsible for cleaning up their own leaves.
But
nature doesn't always have that plan.
And they're city trees. And they're on the sidewalk.
That's the inclination to...
Take that off the record, please. Anything else? Thank you. Thank
we
you
don't have any trouble. We never have administrative services.
Good evening. I have a few things to bring up. One is that the AWC sent out an email, which you should receive, regarding regional meetings. And there will be one October 19th in Burlington. And if you want me to help you set up for that meeting as far as getting scholarship or anything like that, if that's required, I will do that.
The 19th is what?
Somebody's checking.
It's a Wednesday.
What time is it, later in the evening? Or?
It says the agendas are 5:45 to 6:15. Check-in, and then 6:15 to 8 is the dinner program, according to this.
I'd be interested in going.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, on the same lines of training and education, we went to Jurassic Parliament earlier this year. It was a great training. Michael's been wanting to set up some training with Ann McFarland regarding holding meetings. And so So we were thinking of maybe trying to include a process for additional parliamentary training. So that's we haven't forgotten about it, because we also want to review our rules of procedure and update those. So we're taking a look at that and trying to fit that in with the budget. If council has an interest to do something like that this year, we could see what we can do. Otherwise, we can set it up for next year. And then the last thing is we did have our finally end of summer celebration, and it went quite well. We had quite a few people show up. We had the beer garden that was permitted due to the council passing the ordinance on the 12th of September. We had Silver City Band with the Jeffrey Elvis. And then there was the rededication of the playground. Alex did a great job with that. And we had the Blaine Birch Bay Park and Rec District out there serving hot dog meals, which included hot dogs, chips, and drinks. And we also had the Drayton Harbor Oyster Company out there, and they donated the oysters, and then the purchase was by donation, and all of that money went to the city's park fund. So it was a good day. It didn't rain, and everybody seemed to have a lot of fun.
I think Alex should be complimented on the work that he put into it and how he handled the presentation himself. So I think that was something that we should compliment him on.
From the very beginning.
Yeah.
Right, from the very beginning as far as that playground is concerned. And then I do want to thank all of the volunteers. Mike was there, Dave was there, Sam was there with Denise Crawford. We had people, Pam Christensen, and I'm probably forgetting a lot of people, but anyway, appreciation to everybody for volunteering and helping out to make that a successful event.
If we could think of another reason to do it again at some point in the future, I think it would be a good idea, because it does bring the community together and gets the children together, and it gives us an opportunity to talk about what's going on.
And we did have several people ask me if this was an annual event.
Yeah.
So we'll try and make it for warmer weather, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Harry? When I was there that day, I noticed something. I mentioned this to Alex, and I don't know if the word got to you, Raven, or not. But on the water side, kind of on the, let's see, I don't know where to say, on it, kind of in the area behind the, not the boat structure, but the lighthouse playground thing, there's a big slab of concrete where I think a bench used to be, and it's got the brackets still sticking up, which are really a hazard if someone would fall on those, because it's right next to the path. So if you could have someone go out and take those off, they're bolted down.
I think we're actually fabricating a replacement bench for that, but I'll see if we can get some cones on there.
The slab kind of slopes down.
Yeah.
Might be a different one.
Okay. We'll make sure it gets
it, yeah, at least if it's not going to be put back, remove those brackets, because it's kind of dangerous if someone would fall. Okay,
next item, Mr. City Manager. Wilbur.
Just have a brief report. We had a group of employees who celebrated their anniversaries this year between the months of January 1st, 16, and June 30th. Surprising how many employees have been here a long time. These are folks that have been working in all areas within the city, so I'm going to read their names and their length of service. I didn't have them come tonight. We're going to have another gathering later in the year where we have the remainder of this year's anniversaries, but these folks have been around and they've done a lot of work for this, and one of them is here tonight, which we'll recognize in a moment. But Bob Kreider is our network administrator. Been here 10 years. Pretty amazing. Amy Ebernall has been in the police department for 10 years. Debbie Otto has been a public works specialist. She was in utility billing with Jeff's crew for many years. She's been here 15 years. Mark Kaufman, who's a lead lineman in the electric department, 15 years. Our own Sherry Sanchez, here tonight, 20 years of service. Debbie Shirk has got 25 years of service, as does Wayne Shotton, another lineman in the electric department. And then John Walters has 25 years of service. So that's a really a great group of people that have been here for quite a long time. So we're going to re-announce them later this year when we have the other folks come up for their service awards as well. But I wanted to make sure they got some recognition at council. And if you happen to see those employees, please thank them for me and for yourselves too. That's the end of my report.
David, I was going to ask one question. Are we planning to have a meeting with the Planning Commission in the beginning of the new year? Is that something that we've done?
Yeah, that is actually the schedule that I've been thinking of, was the beginning of the new year after the budget's complete. And topics could be a variety of things, but in particular looking at an action plan for the comprehensive plan. But not until after the budget's done.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I
mean, yes, absolutely.
It makes a lot of sense to have that early in the year.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Mayor, may I jump
yes,
on there just
certainly.
Very briefly? I didn't know when the agenda was going out that I would have the opportunity to mention this, but if you drove by the Bell Road, Blaine Road, East Portal intersection today, you may have noticed a significant number of missing trucks and cleaned up site at the Rocky Mountain Trading Building. It's been a long effort, but big change, and they're working on more of those vehicles moving out of there, and then we'll be working more on the building. Similarly, you'll notice up by the food bank and the church there, that the property across the street has been boarded up and the vegetation cut down. And I tell you, when Maddie sent those to me today after her inspection, I said, well, that's really great, but boy, they look terrible. But, you know, when you chop down years and years and years of vegetation, it looks really pretty bad at first blush. And the building still needs to have those boarded up windows painted the same color of the building. But they're deciding whether that's going to be torn down or repaired. So, progress on those, and that property owner has three properties that are currently under enforcement, and he's a little slow in complying with the hearing examiner requirements, but he's making good progress now. So it was nice to see that.
Is the one on Mitchell included?
The bar.
On Mitchell?
Where the apartments used to be.
Oh, his lot. That's not part of the hearing examiner decision, but that is a new case. Okay. But yeah, the third one is on Bell Road. The little green house on Bell Road that's covered in blackberries.
Well, thank Maddie for what she's doing. I think it's really great to see the progress.
I will. Okay, she'll appreciate that.
It's just terrific.
Thank you.
I'm going in the right direction. That's the main thing. Okay, are there any adjustments to our calendars other than the ones we just added?
Not that I'm aware of.
So the 17th is going to be our first budget.
Over the 17th. Do we have a time for that?
No, a time hasn't been established, but probably, we usually start those at 5:30.
About 5:30 or 5 o'clock. Okay. And carrying on, any unfinished business?
Question.
Yes.
Was anything decided or found out about a school route for Mitchell?
Mr. Bullock is working on that.
Any other unfinished business? Any council new business?
Before you end it,
yes, sir.
Maybe a little bit more explanation about the difference between a school route and we had
name
about
change.
That.
Yeah, I think one of the things we talked about was that there are specific for a school zone. There's specific requirements in the code and the MUTCD and a certain distance and so forth. I think you're aware of that, but for a route. He thought that it was possible and a good idea. So I think we're working on it. Got to go through a couple of hoops, but I can obviously order the sign. But we both thought it was a good idea.
Okay. Anything else? Any council new business? Hearing none, I will adjourn the meeting at 7:06. Good stuff.